There's never been a more troubled day than the days in which you and I are living. I believe that. I think we're in the great falling away. I think we're in the end days. I think we are experiencing days where God has shut up heaven. And many who attend church are not even sure there is a God. But just in case, we will attend. Some think there is and have pretty well given up on any kind of organized religious exercise. I myself just take the philosophy that between us girls, we all are a mess. The only cure, there is a cure. There is a cure. It's for God to speak. That is the great tragedy that has led us to the place where no God. Are you positive beyond any shadow of a doubt and on a daily basis, my God is real? Because you experience God, you hear from God, you know God. Well, that's the only way it works. It's hard to love somebody you don't know intimately. The truth is that people even that we love die and our memory fades a bit. It gets a little foggy about some particulars of our relationship with that person. We used to sing and experience, "He walks with me and talks with me a long life's narrow way. You ask me how I know my God lives? He lives within my heart." Experiencing God. We have gotten into this mess because we've lost the message. We've lost the message from heaven. And when you lose the message from heaven, you lose the power of the message. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I think there was a time when the message was being preached in our country and people were being converted. And it was those conversions and the experience of the reality of God speaking from heaven that held the forces of evil back. The truth is, when you get one person saved who is over, let's say, in the drug rehab program, you have won a tremendous victory for society. Because now you have a better rescue mission. You have a better Seneca Street. You have a better Pontiac. You have a better Michigan. You have a better United States of America. Because there is a new creature now who hates the use of drugs, who despises every evil way, a person of character, a person of principle, a person who has the Spirit of God in them. Am I right about that? Absolutely, I'm right about that. I have one goal, not to reform you. Otherwise, we'd have a reform school or a reform rescue mission or a reforming church of some kind. I'm about people becoming new creatures. And the gospel is the power, the dynamite of God. So it must be hammered, it must be preached, and it must be proclaimed. And any watering down of that gospel contaminates it. And so people get religion, but aren't saved. And I'm not talking about simply liberal churches. I grew up basically in a church that emphasized rules and regulations more than it emphasized the gospel. So I had people who didn't smoke, well, at least where anybody could see, didn't drink, didn't play pool, at least hit it, didn't dance, didn't do cards, that sort of thing, and professed Christianity, but they didn't know God. I became very confused myself about the whole religious matter. I was wounded by friendly fire. I can remember days in my own life where I said, if this is all there is to it, I quit. In fact, I led two lives for many years. I went to church. I did all of the right things in front of people. But my best friends were not in the church. My best friends were outside of the church that I attended. What a shame that is. But because of the hypocrisy, and now I look back with great anger about my growing up years. I have issues. Anybody in here have issues? I've got issues with religion. And I know what happened. We were weaned away from the gospel to rules and regulations. See, if a man has a new heart, you don't have to feed him law all the time. Or any time, for that matter. Law is not what sanctifies us. It's grace that sanctifies us. It's love to Christ. It's appreciation. So, we've lost the gospel. Now, I'm going to give you a dose today. I don't know how many of you know this, but I give myself vitamin B12 shots every day. Right in the muscle. So, sometimes if you see me and I'm really hyped, I've just got one of them. I'm going to give you some vitamin B12 today. I'm going to give you some antibiotics today. And it's going to be strong medicine for sick people. You know, people that are dying with cancer, they give them some powerful stuff to try to cure that. I'm going to give you some powerful stuff. I hope you don't choke. Jeremiah 18, I want us to go to the potter's house today. We got to go to the potter's house. The church needs to be taken back to the potter's house. We are an entitlement people in and out of the church. We have everybody owes me mentality, but mostly God owes me. God has become a kind of a fuddy-duddy God who really does not have hands on. We don't believe this. You don't believe this. Some of you here don't believe this. You make this statement, but you don't believe it. There go I, but for the grace of God. I wonder how many in here has said that, but you don't believe that. And I'll show you you don't believe it. If you get angry while I'm preaching, really angry, you don't believe, there go I, but for the grace of God. In other words, what that statement is this. If it were not for grace, sovereign grace, free grace, powerful grace, I'd be worse than that individual right there. We don't believe that. People don't believe that. The church doesn't believe that. Jeremiah 18. When we get to believing that, we're going to get in a state of praise. Nobody's going to have to make you go to church. You're going to be saying this, I have a debt. I am a debtor to the grace of God. I can never repay God for what He's done for me. It's not I have to, I want to, I'm happy about it. Jeremiah 18. I've been reading this chapter this week. This has nothing to do exactly with the message, but I want you to look. I'm going to back up and read about the potter's house, but quickly I want to read verses 11 and 12 of this chapter to you. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, listen to this. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Israel had departed from the living God. Thus saith the Lord, behold, you better look at this. Look at this. Jeremiah is saying, can I have your undivided attention? There's a startling thing, pronouncement here that is about to be made. I framed evil against you, a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope. One or two things are going to happen in this country, and I hope it happens here. The good happens here. Either you and I are going to say, yes, this is a mess, but there is hope. Some of us here believe there truly is hope. There's real hope. That's right. If God be for us, who can be against us? There is real hope because God is God. Some may give up and say, there is no hope. Therefore, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let us live like hell. There's no hope. Gone too far. Done too much. This thing can't be turned around. But the truth is, I am a preacher who has tremendous hope. But it's not in you. It's not in me. It's not in Grace Centers of Hope. It's not in rehab programs. It's in the power of God, in the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. That's the two choices. We can go back to God, believe God, or we can do our own thing and be turned over to our own evil imaginations. My cry is, God, don't leave me alone. Some people's cry is, God, keep your cotton-picking hands off me. My cry is, don't leave me. Don't forsake me. I'm a wild ass's colt that can't be tamed. He's a tamer. That's what the Bible says we are, and that's what we are. Now, Jeremiah 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. I want you to come with me to the potter's house today. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, now here's the lesson. Behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Had a lump of clay. A lump of clay on the wheel. And he had his hands on the clay. And he was molding it and making it. You ever sung that song, Lord, mold me and make me? It's referring to the potter's house and what the potter can do. I want God's hands on me. I want Him molding me and fashioning me. Not my will be done, but Thy will be done. The will I'm afraid of most is mine. I don't talk about my free will. I want to be enslaved by Jesus Christ. I want to be a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be. Behold, He wrought a work on a wheel, and the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Everybody in here is one or the other. You are either a marred vessel, or you are a vessel of honor, a vessel of mercy. You are either a vessel of wrath, or a vessel of the mercy and the grace of God. Now, I want to say it plain so you can understand it. Nobody in here can mess God up. He makes vessels who are dishonorable, like Pharaoh. Say, well, preacher, what does God have to do for a man to go to hell? Just leave him alone. You better hope God doesn't leave you alone. Brother Barnard was preaching in Texas in a revival meeting. There was a young lady on the second row from the front. While he was preaching, she was just bawling her eyes out. And when at the close of the service, Brother Barnard went up to her and said, young lady, may I help you? And she said, for God's sake, preacher, leave me alone. And he said, for God's sake, I will. And she left that service and hit another car head on and died and went out into eternity. The worst thing that could happen to you is for God to leave you alone. Everybody in here ought to be considering this. God doesn't need you. He's the Creator. God is not indebted to you. God does not owe you anything but justice. Some of us are excited because we got both justice and mercy in Jesus Christ outside of ourselves. One vessel was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. It seemed good to the potter to make this vessel of honor. And then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. Listen, my friends, this is gospel. And this is the gospel we've lost. God can save you or damn you and still get glory. He can save you or damn you. God is not in a box. God is not hurting. God does not need you. He is not an impotent beggar. He does not pass out enablement checks. I today am not attempting to get you to feel sorry for God. I listen to these preachers on TV. If you had a heart of steel, you would feel sorry for Jesus. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is sitting on His throne. You're in God's prison house on death row. And the King is walking by with the keys to your cell swinging at His side. What you ought to cry out, pass me not, O gentle Savior, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. He can pass you right on by and never look at you. What you ought to be crying out today is, thou son of David, have mercy. I'm over here. It's worth a try. It's worth a try. If I were you and I was a sock, crack, heroin drunk, I'd be considering that God is not in trouble. That He might just leave you in the crack house and let you stay there all the days of your life and then send you to hell and be just in doing it. God's not in trouble. God is not in trouble. We need to go to the potter's house. You know why there's no praise? I'll tell you why there's no praise. Because men and women actually think they did God a favor. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. Yeah, I'm going to help Jesus. And one day that same Jesus is going, you're going to stand in front of Him and He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never did foreknow you. I never did love you. I never did call you. I never did justify you. Oh, yeah. And you're going to say, we did many wonderful works in your name. I don't know you. Need to go to the potter's house. The reason the church doesn't praise, the reason we do not shout, the reason our hands are not up in there is because we actually think that we had something to do with saving ourselves. Somebody said, well, Pastor, it doesn't sound like you have a much of a burden for souls. I want you to go to Romans 9. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. No man has a burden for souls who doesn't preach the gospel. I want to see people saved. That's why I preach the gospel. The gospel of God's free grace. The gospel of God's sovereign grace. Men hate the gospel. I've been doing this for 45 years. 45 years. It's a jungle out there. And I'm not talking about in the inner city. I'm talking about it's a jungle in the church. You go into most churches in this country and preach the gospel, they'll throw you out. I'm not exaggerating. You think because you come here and I preach sovereign grace, that there's just all kinds of people. Bring your mama, honey. Bring your mama here and let me preach the gospel to her. I don't know how many of you brought your parents here and you said, you got to hear Pastor Clark. You just got to hear Pastor Clark. I'll tell you, Pastor Clark's a wonderful preacher of the gospel. Come on over and hear Pastor Clark. And your mama and your daddy come over here and they go like this. This is a cult. You got to get out of here quick. Because what happened to you has not happened to them. As you said under the gospel of God's free grace, you were converted, you were reinvigorated, you were quickened, you were made alive, you were born again of the Spirit of God. In Romans 9, Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And then he proceeded to write one of the most rejected chapters in the entire Bible. One of the most Bible studies today, when a preacher is doing a study on Romans, he will skip Romans 8 and 9. Does not want to deal with the fact that God is sovereign in salvation. That I am God's workmanship. I am saved because of God. I owe it all to the Almighty God, my Father. I don't want any of the glory. God's people don't fight the doctrine of election, that God before the foundation of the world chose them to salvation. Let me tell you this. If you hate the doctrine of God's choice of you, you are a sick puppy. You know what I do when I, every, listen, I've been hearing this doctrine all of my life. All of my life. It's not a doctrine to me. It's honey to me. It's sweeter than honey. And every time I hear it, I don't care who's preaching it. I go like this. In my heart or literally with my hands. God chose me. What are the chances of that? I wouldn't even have chose me. And He knew all about me. I got up this morning thinking, you're rotten to the core. You are rotten. It seems like the older I get, the more I detest my flesh. I say hallelujah to that. That's a good thing. I don't trust me. Lord, often I plead in my mind and in my prayers, God, keep me. Somebody say, well, you know, you gotta watch these young bucks around here. You better watch the old fool. Just because I'm 65 doesn't mean the fire's out, folks. I haven't got sanctified yet. There's trouble in my way. I gotta moan sometimes. The Apostle Paul said in verse 6, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they're not all Israel which are of Israel. You say, well, what does that mean? That means just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you go to heaven. Simply means that the entire state of Israel, just because you're born of Jewish heritage, doesn't mean that you automatically are in. There is a true Israel made up of Jew and Gentile, of little Isaacs. Like we heard about during the conference. Promise kids, miraculously born of the Spirit of God. I was asked the pastor this week, do you believe in miracles? I held my hand up and I said, I is one. On TV, it went all over the world. I is one. I am a miracle. Shoot, being healed of cancer is nothing. I've been born of the Spirit of God. Listen, folks, I was dead in sins and precipices. I was inactive toward God. I hated God. And when I could not come to Him, He came to my graveyard. He brought me out of the grave. He quickened me and He gave me life. That's a miracle. And He did it on purpose. It wasn't an accident. My mother once said to me, you know, Kenny boy, you were an accident. We weren't planning on you. And later I said to myself, but God was planning on me. He had already written my name in His book. Isn't that something? Before the foundation of the world. I am not an accident. I'll tell you what gets me through. And what gets me through on a daily basis. I am His and He is mine. This is what gets me through. When my flesh is raging, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession. I got a lawyer. Oh, I got a lawyer in the high court of heaven. I have an attorney that's never lost a case, and I am persuaded that neither life, I'm telling you this, if anything could separate me from the love of God, it's my life. You know you. You're not nearly as holy as you look to some of us. You know you. You know what's gone through your mind this week. You know what you've thought. You know the enmity that's in your heart. You know the sexual perversion that lies underneath there. You know how self-centered you are. You know how you use people and manipulate. You know how much fear is in your soul. You know how you've been chipping all week. You know, the most astounding thing to me is that God saves us as sinners. And as soon as we get saved, and I think we've been taught to do this by the preacher and by the church. As soon as we get saved and get in the church, we try to prove to everybody else that we're not. I can't believe you thought I would do something like that. Or how about this one? Don't give me that. As soon as somebody does this to me, oh yeah, you're guilty. You know why? Because I've done that. Really where we ought to be, when we come to understand the gospel and somebody says, you know what? You did such and such. What you ought to be saying is, I'm far worse than that. But we get our hair stands up. We start, I can't believe you'd say something like that about me. How long have you known me? long enough to know you're a hypocrite. Amen. This church is full of hypocrites. What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, that do I. Lord, help us. You got to get back to the gospel. How about verse 13? Romans 9. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Say, well, now, pastor, I think that's talking about nations. Well, that's even worse. He loves one nation and then hates another one. That's talking about individuals. Doesn't that make you feel a little strange inside right at first? It's because your roots don't go deep enough into the gospel. If you're questioning God like this, well, how come you know, I don't believe that doctrine of grace. But, you know, God, that would be totally unfair. We're not talking about being fair. We're talking about free grace. Grace isn't about being fair. Grace is about what God does sovereignly. That He saved you, you unworthy skunk. That He saved you. He knew all about your crack-using, church-going hypocrisy. And yet He reached down into the muck of dung and saved you. He didn't have to. He saved you for His glory. We're just not shut up to this grace thing yet. But you know what? Here's the secret. God inhabits the praise of His people. You're not going to praise until you find out it's all of grace. It's grace that put me in the way, leads me along the way, and takes me all the way. When I was a kid growing up, we had the Booger Bear Gospel. The Booger Bear Gospel was that God is going to get out His movie projector when we get to heaven, and He's going to show everything that you've ever done up there on the big screen, and everybody's going to see it. I'm going to tell you flat out, if that's going to happen, I ain't going. Do I have anybody that will agree? Obviously, a lot of you aren't too sanctified like me. You don't want that on the big screen in glory. And so they'd try to booger bear us into serving Jesus. They guilt all over you. The gospel is good news, glad tidings. Probably the biggest problem my dad and I had was over this judgment seat thing. And whether Baptists were the bride of Christ. Thank God, Dad knows better now. He's up there with that harlot who was taken in the very act of adultery. Who wasn't a Baptist, I don't think. Or maybe she was a Baptist before she got saved. I know a lot of Baptists. Well, when we get to the place where we see, I was a poor sinner, nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. When we get to that place, when we get to the place, I did not first love Him, He first loved me. I did not first call on Him, He called on me. I did not first seek Him, He sought me. I did not first find Christ. By the way, the reason you didn't first find Christ is because Christ wasn't lost. Christ is not lost. You don't have to find Him. He's found. You're lost. And He found you. He left the 99 and went down to the slough of iniquity, over the mountains of vanity, and lay hold on you in Lodibar, and brought you out of Lodibar, and set you at the king's table. That's what the grace of God does for you. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. There's a good possibility there's some folks in here God hates. Not only does God hate you, but you're sitting here hating God. Oh, yeah. See, some of you God haters in here think like this. You know, God's a granddaddy God, and one of these days when I get through smoking crack, when I get through using women, when I get through getting drunk, when I get through partying down, I'm going to give Him a chance. But the book of Proverbs says, when you get ready, He's going to laugh at you when your calamity comes. When the heavens are falling, when the mountains are melting, when you're fleeing from the wrath of God, He's going to laugh at you. And I know some of you are going in here, and I hope there are some in here going like this. I wonder if God hates me. I'll guarantee you this. If you have that thought, He doesn't. All of you who don't give a rip, He does. Now, you need to go home and think about that, because when you get home and get to thinking about it, you begin to think, well, if I'm questioning whether He loves me, I must have some interest in Him. While some of you are sitting here and you can't wait till this is over. You already know. You've looked at your watch from 11:30 on. And no, I've been up here about 45 minutes now. You can't wait to get out of here. You got plans today. You hate being here. You hate the rule over the sinner that you have to come here. Oh, you will take the food. Oh, you will take the bunk bed. Oh, you will take the shower. Oh, you will use the soap. Oh, yeah. 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 You freely receive that. But you hate God. And I don't know whether this has ever entered your head or not. He hates you. And you're going to go straight to hell. Now, some of us in here know He doesn't hate us. And not only that, but we don't hate Him. It's just this narrow. The chief end of man is to glorify God, and we've got a message where men and women in and out of the church have never been to the potter's house. They have never learned the lesson of the potter. Look at verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? That's what we were, a lump. To make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Powerful verse. And I want you to get this one more time. You know, I just don't believe in that kind of God. Well, that's the God of the Bible. And more than likely, you do have a God, some kind of God. And it's probably one that fits your imagination. I mean, you've molded Him, you've made Him, and you kind of move Him around. When He gets in your way, you put Him over here. And then if you're going that way, you move Him back over here. He kind of fits your little pea brain. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this. My God is so good. My God is so good. My God is so good to you. You know when you're having a cold beer plant in your garden? And you're drunker than a skunk and you just beat your wife and you're planting beans and corn in the same row in your garden. God will cause it to rain on your garden just like He does the righteous man. My God is so good to you, rebel. My God is so good. My God has seen you with needle tracks up and down your arm. You just keep shooting up and using. And God, and cursing God, using His name in vain, and using other people, and you're a burden to this world. But my God is just long-suffering. He could have squashed you like an ant a long time ago. Long time ago. But He's long-suffering with you. The goodness of God ought to lead you to repentance. If you have a job and you're a crack-using addict and hate God, God's goodness to you about giving you a job. If you have a car, God's been good to you. You drive to work. If you have food on your table and a house, God's been mighty good to you. And if you've lost it all in down there in Lodibar and you've lost everything and you're just an outright tramp and eating out of a dumpster, God's still good to you because He should have killed you a long time ago. The very fact that you're still alive through all of your shenanigans is the goodness of God. The goodness of God. God is not in trouble. He's the potter. And I hope you leave here today shook down to your very roots. I hope somebody leaves here thinking, I got to find out. I got to find out whether I'm one of those vessels of mercy. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's called sovereign mercy. And when you began to see it, and when you began to realize it, that God has been merciful to you and good to you, that's when the praise comes back. We got to get back to this gospel of sovereign grace. We've got to go to the potter's house. We've got to know that we deserve the wrath of God, but that He's just and justifier of the ungodly. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving me what I deserve. And I'm going to tell you this. The reason you're so stinking mean to other people and you call yourself a Christian and you're always judging fruit is because you really don't believe, there go I, but for the grace of God. You know, since God's taught me the gospel, I've never seen a man or woman too dirty that I could not bend over and help them up. And I say to that little prostitute out there on Saginaw Street, in her halter top and short shorts, her life is totally a wreck with a little liquor on her breath because she can't stand her own life. Come on and sit down here in the house of God with the rest of us sinners and maybe God will save you. Sinners are welcome here. The reason there's so much hypocrisy in the church is because the gospel's not preached. We don't have that spirit of gratitude. It's a very simple lesson. Once you learn that God has saved you for His glory, all the fussing, all the fighting, all the self-righteousness is over. Somebody said, well, Pastor, how come you didn't preach in the Bible conference? Because I really wanted, we had plenty of preachers here, but I wanted Joe and Darren to preach. Brother Webb and Brother Sasser and Frank Wright. I didn't have a bit of jealousy. Not a bit of jealousy. I'm real confident in who I am in Jesus Christ. You can't replace me. Ha! I don't fear you're going to fall in love with Bill Sasser. And I'll tell you why there's no jealousy here. Because first of all, and by the way, I love this fact. I listen to when you say amen. I listen to these preachers preach. You say amen at the right time. I have taught you the gospel for 30 years. 30 years I've been teaching you the gospel. And you know what? It's a gospel that removes jealousy. That's jealousy for those of you who don't understand speaking in tongues. That's jealousy. Jealousy. Paul said, I've heard there's envy and strife and jealousy reported among you. What's the cure for that? The gospel. The gospel. We are a different church. God's going to use this church. God is using this church. We got to keep going to the potter's house. And we've got new lessons there to learn every day. When in your flesh, jealousy pops up, envy pops up, fear pops up, that's not of God. Go back to the gospel. The other thing is this. Your greatest enemy and mine is our self-centeredness. This gospel is far, far from self-centered. It will produce the fruit of the Spirit. It will produce the fruit of the Spirit. But if you don't know the gospel, if you're not caught up in the wonder of this, you got to get caught up in the wonder of this. And in order for a church to get caught up in the wonder of it, that I am saved, while somebody better than me, you know, there's some folks sitting in here right now that are morally better than all of us in here and are going to go to hell. Because that's not it. Here's the spirit of a Christian. I am a servant. And I don't care if you're a deacon, you're an elder, or whatever you are, a preacher's wife, or whatever you are a servant. If we have 300 people here in this church, we must have 300 servants. The way to make servants, you know, Jesus Christ was a servant. It's all about serving. Serving one another. I told you, my greatest thrill was walking over on Seneca Street yesterday and seeing all of our kids in one of the rooms, or a bunch of them in the room over there. To see them riding their bicycles, to see the fellowship that they're having with one another. To see that. You know what produced that? The gospel. The gospel. And it's this gospel, and I'm determined. I am determined. And you know, we do a lot of fundraising. We have to raise nearly $4 million over there. And then we have a church budget and all of that. And I am so determined that we keep the main thing the main thing. Because you can raise money, but if God isn't here, nothing happens. We can raise money, but if you don't know the gospel, nothing happens. We can have men of grace, but it'll go to their head if God's not here. Men of grace need to go to the potter's house every day. Because they're going to be a number one group here pretty soon. And if they don't remember, hey, I've been to the potter's house. I am what I am by the grace of God. They'll get the big head. You get to thinking you're something when you're nothing. And God doesn't inhabit that kind of thing. More than anything else, I want God to speak. It would have been a great day for me today if somebody came in here who hated God, fell on their face before Him. Oh God, I know You're there. I know You're real. I know You know what I am. I don't know You. I don't understand everything that preacher just preached. But I know I need You. And I want You to love me. I know what I am. I deserve to go to hell. Now we got something going. Now we got something going. I long for the day when God speaks during our service. In a mighty way. I'll tell you, I preach for results. And I usually have them. 300 people come, 300 leave. But that's not the kind of results I'm talking about. I want somebody to get saved while I'm preaching. I want somebody to shout while I'm preaching. I want somebody to say, thank You, Jesus. I want to see somebody all by themselves, not intimidated by other people, just say, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me salvation so rich and free. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. That's the way we walk through life. He made me a vessel of honor. Somebody says, you know, Pastor, sometimes I listen to you preach and you know, it's so deep. Don't give me that baloney. I don't preach deep. I just tell the truth. Plain truth. Plain truth. It's not too deep for you that God, I'm saying it, God chose a people before the foundation of the world unto salvation. And you use the excuse that that's deep because you don't want to believe that. It's not about being deep. It's about, Lord God, You chose me. You chose me. You saw my mother and father didn't want me. I raised myself from the time I was 12 years old. I was never accepted, never wanted, always rejected. I was in foster care. I've been abused. My uncle sexually abused me. This has happened to me. This has happened to me. You saw it all. And some of it, Lord, I did it myself. I've been in this thing myself. But You chose me in spite of all of that. You chose me. You know what? It's all right not to understand that God elected you. In fact, you will never understand it. That's why God's going to reveal the riches of His grace. While the ages pile themselves one on top of another, you're going to say, hallelujah, I didn't know that. Oh, God, You saw that. You turned the bullet away. Oh, God, I could have shot up that bad stuff, but you spared me. Oh, God, the measles could have killed me. Oh, God, polio could have taken me. But, oh, God, You spared me. His eyes on the sparrow and He watches over me. Caught up in the wonder. All of our songs, good songs, are written from the standpoint of wonder. Then sings my soul. Does your soul ever sing? Does it ever sing, how great Thou art? Do you ever get caught up in this? And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die for me. I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to Thee. How great Thou art. That's worship. Anything short of that, anything short of wonder is not worship. It's not until you're caught up in the wonder, grateful, appreciative, with a hallelujah deep down in your soul, do you worship. If I was many of church people out there, to go to the dry bone valley of First Pentecostal Presbyterian Baptistic Methodist Episcopal Church, I wouldn't even go. I don't want to hear spooky Halloween music. I don't want people in robes. I want that plain, old, unadorned gospel. I want to hear about a bloody cross. I want to hear about a substitute. I want to hear about a Savior that left the glory land. I want to hear about a Father who sent His only begotten Son. I want to hear about Jesus who stepped out of eternity into time and condescended down to this earth to save the likes of me. I want to hear about a Savior that went down into the coal mine of sin. I want to hear about a Savior who reached down into the pit, the miry clay, and lifted me out and set me on a solid rock. I want to hear about a Savior who's able to redeem poor sinners. Let's stand together and praise our God.